Hi, my name is Diana, and I'm an addict. Let me take time and invite God in so I can have this moment so he can guide me, because I'm nervous, y'all. Thank you. First, I want to say I appreciate my home group and the women in my that's a part of my life. I appreciate y'all coming out and supporting me. I can't look at y'all right now because y'all gonna make me cry and laugh and some more shit. So I'm nervous, y'all. So I ain't never had to do this before. So I prayed and I asked God to guide me and help me. Look, I can't even get my book right. Just give me a moment, y'all. Because I can't see nothing. There it go. Okay, so my topic is on coming out the living clean on 177, moving beyond social acceptability. And It's okay. So, you know, I come from a group where, they don't play. They don't sugarcoat it. We know they let us whine. They let us cry. We have to do what we have to do to get where we at. And I had to do what I had to do in order to fit in. Because I've always been a loner. You know, I was the only child at home for a long time. I come from an alcoholic mother. And by me not having nothing but them imaginary babies, them toys and them dolls, then, I took a different road. My brothers was already out there, and my mom drank all the time, and I wasn't taught how to be what I have met, women that I have met. I didn't know how to dress. I didn't know how to live life on life terms. I didn't know how to dress. I didn't know how to do a lot of things. But as time went by, one thing I did know how to do, that was steal, y'all. I was a good thief. So I wasn't too good because I kept getting caught. But in my world, I was good because I had to support myself. You know, I had a mother, she made sure the lights and the gas was cut on. She did what she can do in her addiction, which I didn't know it was an addiction. I just knew she was drunk all the time, and so most of the time it was just me and my mom until my mom got pregnant and I was like 12 or 13. And I was real grateful because I had a toy and I had something else to play with, and that was my little baby sister. So as time went by, I stole and I stole and I got pregnant and I did the thing that my mom told me don't do. She said, don't give up them draws. And I gave up them draws at the age of 14 and I got pregnant. And but she did tell me to ask for birth control pills if I wanted them, and I asked and I didn't get them. She was too drunk to take me to get them birth control pills. So I ended up with that first child, and I knew that I had to take care of my baby. Wasn't nobody else gonna take care of it. So I did what I had to do to take care of my child, and I stole, and I was in and out of jail, and then I got that first 2-year sentence, and when I came back, my child was living with her dad, which was unstable, and my little sister was living with my uncle, which was unstable. And things took off. I had a rap sheet as long as both arms. I had a jail sentence as long as both arms. I got 25 years running concurrent at the age of 28. And I had 4 children. By the end, I had 4 children. The journey was hard, y'all. The struggle was real for me because I didn't know nothing. I did know that in order to get a cup of coffee from them women down there, you had to say please and thank you, etc. Prison raised me. Let me say prison raised me. Prison taught me some stuff that I did not know. Like, thank you, good morning. They used to say, Diana, why you always frowning? You know, I looked like a bully. I acted like a bully. I just knew that I had to protect myself. All my life, I had to protect myself, and that's what I did, even in prison. Didn't know I had 225 years until I got out. I had 225 years running concurrent, and I'm still on paper today, y'all. How about that? So, life rolls on, and I think about 10 and a half, 11 years ago. Next month, I'll be celebrating 11 years on the 12th. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love my homegirl. Thank y'all. I don't know how I got here, y'all. I promise y'all I don't know how I got here. All I know is I'm here, and I ain't going nowhere. You know, on my way from home from prison, I think I got out like September. Yeah, because August I'll be out parole. So I got out of prison, and I was on my way home. And my intentions was to stop at the store and give me a cold. But God had other plans for me, y'all. I had that spiritual awakening. And instead of stopping at that store, my focus was getting on that bus and getting back to Houston, Texas. And I did. I made it to Houston without getting that cold one. Getting that one more. I was going to get me some cigarettes. I didn't get the cigarettes. My spiritual mind told me that if I picked up the cigarettes, then I wouldn't survive. So I smoked cigarettes, I got high, I drank, I did whatever, you know. And I knew that if I picked up them cigarettes, I wasn't going to survive because one addiction leads to another for Diana. So I stopped smoking, I stopped hoeing, I stopped drinking. I just didn't do none of it no more. Now, I cuss you out, but I'm not going to pick up no. I didn't pick up nothing. I still had to defend myself, even in the world. You know, and that's what I did. I defend myself until I got to alive and kicking and my spirit settled down. And the women told me that they wasn't out to get me, you know. They started showing love, and I started being loved. I started getting attacked. Last year, let me see, no, 2.5 years ago on my birthday, my sister went into a cardiac arrest at my birthday party, and she just tilted over, y'all. She just tilted over and stopped breathing, and the ambulance took like 20 minutes to get to her. Long story short, she's still here, but she's not here. She's in a nursing home. COVID came. I was going through it. I didn't think I was going to make it, but I made it, y'all. See, one thing about Diana, I'm a survivor. I've always been a survivor. You know, I've been through some things. I don't got time to tell y'all all of it, but I'm gonna tell y'all some of it, you know, what needs to be told today. But anyway, yeah, my sister stopped breathing. The family stopped talking to me because I didn't want nobody to pull the plug on me. You know, so now I'm stuck with looking out for her, taking care of her, paying her rent. If she passes away today, I got to put her in the ground because the sons and the children told me to lose their number. So I lost it. I don't have a problem with that. You know, I'm a big girl today. The program grew me up. Prison grew me up. I'm about to be out this parole in August, 25 years. Let me tell y'all. The journey was not, it was not no easy journey, but with the support of my group and them ladies teaching me how to get in the middle of the herd, hang on, you know, and tie a knot and don't let go. And that's what I did. I got in the middle, you know. Didn't trust them. I ain't gonna lie. Didn't trust them. I'm a loner, y'all. I still isolate, you know. I'm just real grateful that it's the room not full as it was earlier because I probably wouldn't be here. I was real scared. I started having anxiety attacks, panic attacks, sweating and a fanning and some more stuff, you know. And then when they came and asked me about being recorded, I was like, okay, you know. It was just too much for me. I ain't going to even lie. It was too much. But they told me to get up here and pray, and God was going to do the rest. So that's what I did. I got up here, and I'm just sharing my experience, strength, and my hope. All I know is that God has been good to me. I ain't had no desire to pick up no drugs, to smoke no cigarettes. Let me say this. I've been celibate for 3 years. Let me tell you, I used to sell ass, plug ears up, baby. I used to prostitute, all that. I don't do none of those things no more. I haven't stole nothing in years. I'm what y'all call it, self-supporting person today. Okay? I done had a few jobs. I ain't never had a job. I went back to school, got my high school diploma, and I got, you know, I got a few little credits. They wasn't what I wanted, but it, you know, a few times I got a job. I wanted to be like y'all. I wanted a real job. But the job that I did get, I was okay with. Yeah, it wasn't selling ass, right. So, you know, I'm real, real grateful that, you know, when I was afraid, I could call up somebody. One of my sisters in my recovering group, my sponsor, and they'll walk me through the fear. And it was so many times that I was afraid, you know. And I thought a lot of times that I was alone, and I wasn't alone. When I realized I wasn't alone, and people started calling me and telling me to hang in there, Diane, stop being, you know, stop pushing people away. And I opened up and I started letting people come in, and believe it or not, I asked for this. I prayed for it, but I didn't know it was coming this fast, because I just prayed for it. I was like, Lord, I'm tired of being by myself. I need to open myself up to women. You know, I need to take down that wall, you know, because I've been hurt so much. So many times I've been hurt in and out of relationships. You know, so I just opened myself up so they can love me. And they did just that, y'all. They loved me till I could love myself. And I was able to love myself. I'm able to pay my own bills and get past all those hurt and pains. And that's what they is. It's just my past now. Today is just my past. And whatever I have to do for today, which is on my plate, is, you know, take care of my little sister. And that's what I do. I make sure the rent is paid. I go up there and see her once, twice a week. Make sure they're giving her medicine, bathing her, et cetera. But one thing I knew that I couldn't do all this here in one time. You know, I had to take it one day at a time. And that was the good thing about That was the best thing that I was able to do for myself. I don't be all over the highway. I don't, if somebody call me and tell me I need a ride, I don't drive at night, baby. Not me. So I'm not going to jump in my car and come and try to rescue or save somebody. You know, the children, they can't get on my level. They can't accept mama for who she is today. So I had to let them go, y'all. I had to let them go, and that was real. That was one of the hardest battles that I had to do, was let my children go. Now, them grandbabies, I'm the apple of their eye, and they the apple of my eye, you know. And when they call, Granny don't run and go say their ass either. How about that? I could give them some advice like y'all gave me, and I could tell them what to do, and if they don't want to do it, that's on them, you know. One thing I do know is that if I trust this process, I'm going to be all right. You know, it says, I'm coming from 179, and it said, getting the outside right is not only about wanting approval. Though we learning to respond appropriately to life, many of us mask low self-esteem with inappropriate behaviors. Often we assume that Other people will do what we did in our worst moments. We push people away for fear they will see us as we see ourselves. Allowing ourselves to appear in the world as we are is a big step. We are mindful of our behaviors and our surroundings without giving up our individuality. But we also begin to let our guard down, let people in, and share who we are, what we find. Of course, that when we are less afraid, we tend to be less frightened to others. Ultimately, the issue isn't how society accepts us, but whether we accept society and roll in it. Accept society and our role in it. And, you know, that was big for me, because I didn't even know how to, accept life on life terms. You know, I didn't know none of that. I didn't know how to do no dressing. I didn't know how to do none of that. No, nothing. You know, and when the addict called me and said, would you like to speak? And I was like, nah, I'm going to the speaker jam, the women's speaker jam. I said, I didn't know men's was going to be here, too. So I was like, nah, I'm going to the women's speaker jam. She said, that's good. You can speak there. That's where we want you to speak. So I was like, really? She was like, yeah, really. So, you know, I knew then that was a God calling, y'all. I ain't even lying. That was God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself, you know. So, and then I called myself, not telling nobody, to the last minute. I said, I'm gonna let them know the last minute, the day before. Shoot, that didn't work. I told one person in everybody's show, like, everybody was like, even my sister in the wheelchair, like, I'm like, damn, where she come from, you know? So when you think don't nobody care and don't nobody love you, you know, because that's where my mindset was with my recovering sisters. I didn't think nobody really give a hoot about how I felt, what I was going through, but that's not true. That's not true. And today, it speaks for itself. You know, I don't have to ask, I don't have to question nobody. I don't have to question my higher power or nobody about who I am today or where I stand in recovery. I don't. I could share on Zoom. I could share back at the home group, but I ain't never did this. You know, never did this. They say never, so I never. This is the first time for me, and I really appreciate y'all just calling on me. I know it wasn't y'all. It was God. You know, and I thank my God and my understanding for allowing me to be up here and share in front of you all, because I never would have thought I could do this. Right. You know, and don't. That's all I have. I could keep going. Okay, so let me tell y'all how this journey been going for me since COVID hit, since the COVID-19 hit. First of all, I live alone. Second of all, I wanted a husband, but now I ain't found his way to my door, and that was the only way I'm gonna get him. And yet, y'all hear what I say, a husband. I don't want no one night stand. None of that other stuff. But I knew I had to wait on God, just like I have to wait on God for this process. And I knew if I wanted to be friend, some women, I had to get out and open up myself and allow them to be a part of my life. You know. So I haven't did no one night stands. And I haven't did what I used to do. You know, I used to with that. The thought did run across my mind that if I wasn't in recovery, I'd been had me a few of them niggas knocking. But then that was just a thought, you know. That was just a thought. I didn't entertain it the whole night because, you know, I know how the disease will play tricks on your mind, and I'll be out there hoeing when I know I ain't got no business doing it. No. Anything I did back then, I'm not going to do today. You know, because one of any of those things, I have my ass back in prison. And I'm not going to prison for nobody. No nigga, no grandbaby, no child, no home group, nobody. So I've been home 11 years. No, I've been home 10 and a half years. And I've been home 10 years, and I've been clean going on 11 years. Okay? So I ain't finna do none of those things. I could breathe today. I don't smoke cigarettes. You know, I don't know. I'm just a different woman. I own my own car today. You know, I pay my own bills. Don't know man, don't know woman. None of that, you know. I used to do women too. I don't have a desire to do no females. Let me tell you, God has been good to me. He gave me my mind. He woke me up in my right mind, and I ain't had no desire to go back yonder way where I come from. I ain't doing that. Mm-mm. Cause you know what? Them people back there that was with me, I don't even know where they had. They didn't make it. So, you know, I'm here. I made it. And I don't chose to go back and do the things that I used to do. I don't do none of that, and I'm grateful. It wasn't nothing that Diana did. It was all my God and my understanding, you know. And the reason why I chose to be called Lady Di today is because I am a lady today. Hey, I was just like the next ad, tooted up some places y'all wouldn't believe. But y'all don't know about that. Not unless y'all been in them places that I've been in. And if you're an addict, I'm sure you've been down that line somewhere. But today, we don't have to do that. And I'm real grateful I don't have to do that. I have a sponsor today. I love my sponsor. I'm working them steps. I'm on step 4. Woo, and it feels so good that I'm on them steps and I'm working them steps. I'm interacting with people. I'm growing. I'm maturing. You know, I'm just doing what I'm supposed to do, and the rest will follow. You know, and that's, you know, that pretty much sums it up. I just, you know, if you don't want to grow, don't mess with them steps. Especially when you live by yourself. Because, see, you don't got no time to do nothing else. See, it's easy, real easy to just take care of Diana. Real easy. Because, you know, government give me a check and I just do what I do. I pay the bills. That's all I got to do, pay the bills. And then the roof going to stay over my head. I ain't car paid for it. I don't have to, you know, worry about count time, commissary. Visitations, who I'm a parole to, how much money I got at the commissary, you know, who love me, who done none of that shit. I ain't gotta do none of that. You know, my parole officer asked me to update my ID, my picture ID. And I was like, you waited too long, ma'am, to update the picture. Cause she should have did that shit a long time ago. I'm about to be a free lady. She said, I still have to do it. And she said, we call you for a dirty UA, you got to do that too. And I just told her, you know, whenever you ready, come on. Because they ain't been here. They ain't been coming. They ain't been knocking. They ain't been doing nothing because of COVID. And I was real grateful anyway because I ain't want nobody at my house. You know, it was too much going on, y'all. And if I don't know how to do nothing else, I know how to take care of myself. Even the grandbabies couldn't come. And I love them, you know. But today, I'm just a grateful addict, and they say a grateful addict won't use, and that's what I am today. I'll go to any length for my recovery today. You know, my sponsor live on the other side of town. She met me halfway the first day, but guess what? I've been coming to her ever since. And I don't have a problem with it, you know. If she say, let's go, Diana, I'm going. I'm getting in the car, and we're going to go. Either she going to drive, or I'm going to drive, or we're going to drive halfway, whatever we have to do. And, you know, I never like recovered family and, you know, the what they call it, the click issue or whatever. But I found out this here family was different. I didn't even, look, let me tell you, I didn't even know I had a family. I didn't know they was all connected till I got down to Circle of Sisters. I'm like, damn. And then one say, you know I'm your you in my family, huh? You know you my sister. I was like, no, I didn't know that. So I didn't know these was my sisters. I didn't know. Now I know, boy, they all showed up too. And thank y'all. Thank y'all for sharing.